We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Jeff was right. It's a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. He said the way these computers are running these updates, it won't be ready till at the earliest noon. I thought that was nuts. It is 12:05, and this computer's still running updates. So if you ever want to call us, good luck. Joining us right now, though, is our friend Mr. Paul Troth. Paul is a former college quarterback. He's been coaching now at the Elite 11 level for years. Knows all these young quarterbacks personally. Paul, what's up, dude? How you been?
What's up? What's up? How we doing? Good Friday to y'all.
Yeah, you too, man. I'm just reading from your website, from the Elite 11 website, like just some of the guys you've worked with, Deshaun Watson. I mean, I know you've worked with all these dudes. I know you knew Askins.
Right.
Who, in the last like 10 years, who's the quarterback you've enjoyed working with the most?
On a personal level or at the Elite 11? I mean, they're kind of more so the Elite 11 is what you're asking.
Sure.
Every year the kids that come back that are counselors, I enjoy working with the most. I think that, you know, Caleb Williams is an outlier. I mean, he's been that way since his sophomore year when I got to meet him over at the St. James. He came to a regional, and I was just blown away by his maturity, his desire to learn. He's a sponge. On a more long-ended way, I've really appreciated – I'm old now, so I saw Bo Nix when he was like 13. And
that's crazy.
Same thing with, Brock Purdy. They were at a camp, and they were like, 12, 11, 13, and now – I'm gray-haired, and those guys are doing big things. So to see the growth, I would say the most fun I've had is Bo Nix, because he's a kid that is his dad's a high school football coach. He just kind of gets it. He overcame a lot of adversity. But those are the personal one-on-ones that I've had a good experience with over the past years.
That's great. And then, I mean, beyond kind of the personal stuff, let's take a look at these quarterbacks this year. You know Caleb well. Is there any doubt in your mind he's going number one? I mean, just tell us a little bit about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I think that you could put him into the Luck, Manning, Elway mold, where it's a slam dunk, no-brainer. His talent level is well above the next tier of quarterbacks, and it's not even close in terms of what he can do with the football, his body, like his physical like presence about him is just super impressive. And then his just, for all the flair that you kind of have seen in the past year, it's more conscious of who he is off the field. Like, he has a small circle, so he's been doing this since he's been at Gonzaga. And, nowadays, that's the nature of the quarterback world. I mean, it's quarterback themselves and then quarterback dads. And I think that his dad has handled the process well. They've taken ownership of their recruitment in high school, and they've taken their ownership over the NIL. And he's just well-spoken. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's just an outlier. I mean, I can't tell you how impressed. I mean, I've sent you the videos. Like,
yeah,
he literally can hit the goalpost from 50 yards away back to back. And you're not shocked because he can control the ball that way. I've never seen anything like it.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
As somebody that knows Caleb well, when you heard the silly stuff about, oh, he's going to want ownership or he's going to refuse to play certain places, did you just kind of know that was pre-draft nonsense? Or,
well, I'm kind of an old man, get off my lawn. I teach middle school, so I'm trying to get my head around the new age of kids. And so when you're hanging out with Caleb Williams, there's this, for example, like we're at Elite 11 Finals in Redondo Beach. He's a counselor. Michael Penix is a counselor. And so is JT Daniels. I mean, not JT, Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
And Jaden Daniels and Penix, they show up in their, what we give them to wear. Now, Caleb, he's his own man. He is comfortable in his skin. So I don't want to confuse comfortable in your own skin with diva. Does that make sense?
Like, it's, sure.
It's not, there's not alarms going off in my head that I would be concerned, because what has he done in college to off the field that would not want you to trust him with your franchise? I think that goes back to Gonzaga. When he stepped on the field, he knew that he was in control of a lot of people's futures and jobs. I know Randy Travers was instrumental. Like, he was a brand new coach and Caleb was a brand new starter. And you could tell that the kid just understood like the responsibility that he had, but he's comfortable in his own skin to be himself. And I think that's what you want, because you don't want inauthentic leadership. And I think for him to change the Bears, he's going to have to come in and immediately like be himself and play his game and distribute the football and win games.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think there's a reason that there's never been really a moment of doubt that Chicago is taking Caleb. I mean, they traded away Fields. They made it very clear, and it's because he's clearly the best prospect in this draft. But let's get
Who's next after him?
Yeah, what happens at number two? What would you – I mean, you clearly know, man, Daniels. I'm guessing you know Drake May. Like, you know these dudes.
Yeah, so it is – it's pick your flavor, because – they're both outstanding. And when if Caleb Williams wasn't in this draft, okay, you would be having a, you could compare it to a Luck RG3 scenario where you could nitpick those two guys like we did back in, 2012 or whenever that was.
Right.
The very two different, I guess, styles. I think the impressive thing about May, I know from our lifelong scout who's seen all of them, talking with him, he is very – we had him comparable to Justin Herbert. He's very cerebral, very athletic. He doesn't get overwhelmed. The big thing about May that I don't know that people are talking enough about is he had Clyde Christensen for a whole year now as his quarterback coach in North Carolina. And that guy coached Luck, Brady, Manning. So he's already going to be prepared into how to handle a quarterback room, how to handle an install, the week to week with all that. Now, on the flip side, you got Jaden Daniels, who like is a bigger version of Kyler Murray, in my opinion. If you go back and look at his high school tape, he is Kyler Murray, but bigger and faster. Oh, and maybe not as fast, but just in that mold. So, does he mesh well with Kingsbury? I think that's where the Commanders may go, just because that system will fit with what Kingsbury can do. And he's probably more NFL ready to overcome any inefficiencies in an offense to use his legs. Where, you see May, he can run, but you can have design runs for Jaden where he might pop off and go 60, and it overcomes a lot of inability to block this up or run this scheme. And not taken away from his arm, because he's tremendous, but his speed is on another level.
So, I mean, God forbid, it sounds like you're really high on both men, like that both these guys can play.
Yeah, I really am. And just from the simple fact that both have had, Jaden has had a ton of adversity. I think that when it comes down to where you're splitting hairs, I think sometimes you go with the kid that has had to overcome a little bit of adversity, because the B. Mitch knows the grind of an NFL season. It's long and it's not fun. So, the ASU debacle, people can say what they want about that, but to me, that's always a kid betting on himself and wanting a bigger challenge. He goes to LSU. He plays for Brian Kelly. That ain't easy. And then at the same time, I just know from experience being around a young man, he comes as a counselor and, all lights and cameras are on Caleb Williams, and Caleb comes out there and he's But the kid is almost like sitting back, like, they don't know about me. Wait till they get a load of me. And the proof is in the pudding with what he put up this year. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, they all come from – they all have good backgrounds. You know, the May family, you can't ask for a better pedigree. And then Jaden, he has a good core foundation of family. I know that there's been talk about, you know, mom, but, hey, my wife would probably be the same way if she had something, a talented kid. She wanted to make sure he's taken care of. She's not as involved as I think people are making it out to be.
Yeah, but people involved with their kids' lives, but they have a problem be mad at a parent of an athlete. It makes no sense.
I mean,
if they're overbearing, you understand, but they're going to think the same way. And until it becomes overbearing, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I agree. Now, if people are getting on radio shows, and you know, that's different. But I think that people don't understand the quarterback world as it is today. You know, I mean, you've got college quarterbacks making more money than Brock Purdy. So you tell me how we're supposed to handle how they're supposed to handle that.
Yeah.
I think the
Daniel stuff with his mom came from one specific person. We're just going to ignore that, frankly. We're talking with our friend Paul Troth, who's a coach with the Elite 11, goes around the country looking at the best young quarterbacks. What about just the dude, the ability to command the room for Jaden and for Drake?
I think that, like I said, with Drake having experience with Clyde Christensen, that gives him a step up. I think that, you know, God knows how many times, you know, Christensen gave him stories about Manning and Brady and just being able to teach him. I think that when it comes down to it, who's your backup and who's your third-string quarterback in the room that's going to, you know, be a second coach? And I think that that's huge. I think that the organization in the past didn't have that. I think that that goes very underrated. Nobody really talks about that. I think that for the Commanders, they need to have a quarterback room that's going to be able to enable the young man to fail, but step out and say things and trust that his voice is going to be heard. So I think that both are set up for success. I would probably say May would probably be more in control just because I'm assuming that he's been around an NFL quarterback coach longer.
Let's get away from Daniels and May. It sounds like, and I know you well enough that you're not like a guy, like a fence rider, but it sounds like you don't have a dog in that fight. You think they both are tremendous prospects.
Yeah, I really don't. I think, you know, it's hard because you have revisionist history and, you know, like you got another North Carolina quarterback coming out. I think that that May is battling that. There hasn't been a successful North Carolina quarterback in a while.
People said that about LSU till Burrow and Ohio State till Stroud. You know what I mean? Like,
Exactly. And I think that with the new regime, I think Kingsbury – If I was making a pick, I'm going to go ahead and take Daniels just because the questions about his frame and his, you know, he's very spindly. But we all know, B. Mitch knows, those quarterbacks are in bubble wrap now. I mean, they're going to be protected. I mean,
I'm glad a quarterback said it. When I say it, nobody want to hear it.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it is the truth. Like, just think about Lamar Jackson. Look at how much he's been able to put on his frame. Now, I'm not saying Daniels is Lamar Jackson, but I know he has better mechanics, and I know that he can run. So and he has Kingsbury. So those factors alone, to me, if I'm the Commanders and where they're at with the franchise of trying to turn this thing around quickly, that's where I would go. But you can't go wrong going with May. It's just the longer leash on this thing, the longer story might be. May might turn out to be a better one just because, you know, he's not as well. To me, they're both kind of frail looking compared to Caleb, but they're not going to get broken. So,
what about the one thing that's like May as the higher upside? But don't you think Daniels can continue to improve too?
I do, just because of the year that he had. I mean, look at how much Burrow.
Do you worry about his the sacks he takes? That's been a popular.
Well, in the NFL, yeah. I mean, I think, but I said that about Lamar. I'm like, one day someone's going to catch him just right, and he's going to break and fold. But it hasn't proven to be true. And I think, honestly, you have to protect him by running him with design quarterback runs. And that's where Kingsbury's scheme should be able to do that. He just has to be willing, unlike some previous Washington quarterbacks, to want to, you know, expand his game to be a complete quarterback. And I think he understands that. I mean, the throws that he makes are NFL throws. And, you know, I think 12 months from now, if you're sitting back and you're saying we're drafting at 2 and we luck out and be like what the Texans got with Stroud, I think everybody would be happy. But yeah, you're always worried about guys taking hits, but I've never seen him, you know, not get up. I mean, he's pretty.
See, for me, I'm worried about like people automatically look at the guy who's smaller. And as Coach John Thompson would always say, that guy's been playing with that same body all his life.
I don't even
mean the big guys that get hit get hurt too.
I mean, how often the pressure to sack ratio has been big in the analytics community. I also want to be cool to you. I know you might have to run, so if you need to run,
well,
say so.
I talked to my principal. She thinks it's pretty cool, so we'll
But see, this is like the thing about pressure to sack ratio. Does the pressure to sack ratio take into account when somebody pressure and a dude run a damn touchdown, 50, 60 yards? They excuse that. So you shouldn't excuse that. If I have that ability when you pressure me and I don't throw the ball or take a sack, I run for a 60-yard touchdown. I run for a 15-yard touchdown. Why is that eliminated? So that's why all these analytics, they're great, but they also leave out stuff to make the thing look better for them, not necessarily the overall player.
Yeah, that makes sense. I never thought about it like that. I think the extended part of that, though, should be, okay, can he beat you when you do pressure him with the ball and not his legs? And I think understanding that on third down, especially third and long, when they can go nickel on you and put a spy, he's eventually going to have to beat somebody with the ball. But, I mean, you could flip on the tape and look at May, too. I mean, he scrambles around a ton as well. I think that it's, again, it's flavor of the week. It's for me, it's where the Commanders are sitting, what they need to do, the weapons that are already in place. I think, for me, I would take Daniels, my buddy who scouted all of them, he loves May. You know, he just thinks like there's something about the kid, the pedigree, the cerebralness about him, where that's who he would take. But, you know, I don't want to straddle the fence, JP, so I would take Daniels.
Okay.
I would take Daniels.
All right, there you have it. I know you got to go. I want to maybe we circle back next week because I do want to hear more about Michael Penix. I feel like he's got the best arm and people are just scared of him.
Well, and a great story. Another great story and a great kid. And, anytime, man, I will find time for you guys. And it's not a good Friday to golf, B-Mitch. It's too cloudy out here in South Riding. So,
hey,
we'll have to find a good one.
It won't be next week.
Paul, thank you for making time for us, dude. Really appreciate it.
Tell your principal we said thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
I will. I will. Thank you.
That's our guy, Paul Troth. Dude knows ball. He sees all these guys when they're like, I mean, he starts coaching these eventual first-round NFL picks when they're like 14. That's real perspective. And you know what didn't come up? Emojis. Beck Malenstein joins us next.
Some people don't care about the emojis. Other people lose their mind over emojis. Who cares? Hey, everyone. It's Autism Acceptance Month, and we're making a difference together. So join me as I bike to the beach to support local autism organizations. Come out on Friday, August 2nd, and enjoy a 25, 50, 70, or 100-mile ride to Dewey Beach. Ride with me or donate to our team to help us hit our goal. This ride is designed for all riders, so bring your crew and help us raise money for autism awareness. Visit biketothebeach.org/bmitch to get involved and make an impact today. That's biketothebeach.org/bmitch.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's do this.
Let's go, Capitals! Huge game coming up this weekend, Sunday, 3 o'clock, Madison Square Garden. Joining us now to get ready for the playoffs. That's right, the playoffs. Beck Malenstein. Beck, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dude, the last time you were on with us, your wife was waiting to have a baby any day.
In the time since,
your life has changed pretty dramatically.
It has changed a little bit. Yeah, we were very fortunate to welcome our little man into the world, and you know, wife and baby are doing great, and it's definitely been a different chapter to the life, but it's been awesome.
Now, dude, I haven't done the math, but little boy came late January, right?
Yeah, January 18th.
January 18th. I bet your guy's record since your son was born is like 15 games over 500. You guys got really hot in the second half of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it probably does line up there. I'm not sure if it quite correlates, but we'll take it.
For the sake of our conversation, it correlates. You've got us. Don't worry.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I appreciate that,
dude. You know, as a younger guy in your NHL career, what was this season like for you? I mean, one, you're in the big leagues pretty much the entire season, and there were various moments where this Caps team was down and out, and you fought all the way back, and now you're headed to Madison Square Garden for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's whirlwind or roller coaster, probably the only two words you could kind of use to describe it. It was, you know, some huge highs, and then, yeah, like you guys mentioned, we had some points in this year where, you know, a lot of people were counting us out, and really just huge, you know, contributions from our team, being able to stick with it, guys staying positive and having that belief in the room. And, you know, I don't think I've ever played that type of hockey at the end of a season where, you know, it's coming down to four teams and minutes of games are starting to matter and decisions and things like that. But it made for an exciting finish and, you know, awesome that we were the last one standing there when the dust settled.
Have you allowed yourself a chance to look back on the season and look at that first half of the season and then the second half and the things that you all did?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we've had the opportunity to do here with this little bit of downtime before we start revving it up to head into New York City. And just really special, right? You end off that game in Philly, and you could really feel it in the room that there was just a level of gratification for how hard we had worked all year, battled through a lot of adversity, injuries, and things like that, just to give ourselves a chance at the postseason. And I thought it was just an amazing job by, you know, every single guy that stepped into the lineup for us throughout the season, and just made it, you know, a really special moment to share with a group of guys that really sacrificed a lot for each other.
I mean, seriously, the way you guys got in to win the last three, win four of the last five, did you have moments of doubt there? Like maybe after that Sabres game where you just, what are we fighting so hard for if we're going to give ones up like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was probably the biggest thing within our group is we really didn't allow that kind of stuff to sink in. And, you know, throughout the entire season, we were really good at being able to turn pages quickly. You know, we had some rough games throughout the year that we'd probably want back, and usually we were able to rebound from that and play a pretty good game coming out of it. And I think, you know, us having that little skid right at the end here, we were very fortunate that other teams kind of went through the exact same thing, and we were able to kind of dig our foot into the ground and start pushing forward and really just took care of business in those last three games to give ourselves a chance.
Talking with Beck Malenstein here from the Washington Capitals, left winger, played in 81 games this year and now gets to play some more starting Sunday against the Rangers. Have you allowed yourself to think for a minute, like, oh my God, I'm about to play playoff hockey at the Garden?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's I've only heard amazing things about the atmosphere and stuff there. I don't think it really would have mattered what rink we were playing in. Just having the opportunity to play in the NHL playoffs is something you obviously dream of as a kid. And it's kind of that next tier from just being able to play, right? You check that one off the list, and you obviously want to play for a long time, and you realize really quickly that people don't always get that opportunity, right? You have players that play a lot of years just searching for that chance. And so to be able to get that in my first year is definitely not something I'm going to take for granted. It's going to be an amazing experience, and I'm really looking forward to it.
What are some of the things you're hearing from the veteran players that have been in those playoffs and things like that before?
Yeah, we're so fortunate with this team to have, you know, a lot of guys that have had a lot of playoff games and a lot of guys who have Stanley Cup rings as well. And I think the biggest thing that we're hearing from them is just consistency, right? We've been playing playoff hockey for almost 2 months now with how our season's been going and, you know, the importance of us trying to get wins and things like that. And, you know, they've just instilling confidence in our group, right? We've done all the right things to get to this point. We've really had to fight for it and earn it. And if we can kind of continue and carry that mindset here into the postseason, it's going to give us a great chance to win.
Well, and, you know, it's you're matching up against a team that you guys split with this season. So you got to be, regardless of President's trophies and overall records, like, you played them four times and you won twice. Does that impact your mind, or are you just focused on looking ahead here?
Probably a little bit of both, right? You never want to read into a regular season series too much, but I think when you dove into those four games, they were pretty competitive, right? It's a split series, and you know, two brands of hockey that seem to clash pretty well and create tight games. And yeah, obviously the objective is always going to be look forward. It's a different animal once you get into the playoffs, but I think having a situation like this, you know, we look at this team as a competitive team that we're definitely not going to take lightly. But when you have that experience throughout the regular season, you know it's going to be a great matchup.
But knowing that you've played them, do you have any things that you can remember from some of those earlier games that may help you out in your preparation?
Yeah, you definitely start to become a little more familiar with tendencies, right? You can look at their top guys and understand where they do their damage. You know, they have a solid decor that's mobile, and they have a great goaltender. So they're obviously President's Trophy winners for a reason. But like I said, we can kind of look at how we matched up with them throughout the season, the regular season, and just kind of hit the ground running. You know, we're coming in with that mindset of we got nothing to lose, and we're really, really confident with where our game is right now and going to make for a great series.
Long before your time, but I've seen some President's Trophy winners go out in the first round, man. you talked about the Rangers have a really good goalie. We're talking with Caps left winger Beck Malenstein here in advance of their game one against the Rangers Sunday, 3:00. You talked about the Rangers goalie, but the way Lindgren's been playing is out of this world, man. How does it feel to be on the ice when you know your goalie can stop seemingly anything at any time?
Yeah, I mean, words really can't describe what Chuck's put together kind of down the stretch for us here. He's really had an unbelievable, you know, span of games and the level at which he's been playing at in them. And yeah, it just instills all the confidence, right? And you know that he's going to be there to bail you out. And likewise, you know, we see how hard he works every single day, and you're willing to put yourself in front of a puck for him, right? That's kind of been the MO of our group all year, that the guys are willing to sacrifice for each other in any given moment. And I think that's what's given us success down the stretch here. So no, he's nothing but amazing things to say for him. Really happy with how, you know, for him with how he's been playing, and really gives us that confidence in him coming into the postseason.
The first time I know you heard people talking about jumping in front of the puck. The first time you decided to jump in front of the puck and you got hit, what went through your head?
I mean, I don't know. It probably depends on where it hit me. I'm still doing it, like, so it must not hurt.
This is not what they said it was.
I know, yeah. I mean, I think at some point I realized it was probably just going to be something that I was going to have to do if I wanted to stay in the lineup, so it started to hurt a little bit less. But some catch you in spots where you know, you wish they wouldn't, and other ones are all right. But, you know, the only time it really hurts is when the goalie comes up to you after. He's like, hey, man, I had that one. You didn't have to block it. I'm like, well, I can't tell that. I've only ever had that happen one time. And I was like, oh, well, that puckered a lot more when I found out I didn't need to, right? So
that is insult to injury right there.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You talked about Lindgren, and he's an amazing story. He has this like sense of amazing positivity. I remember kind of some of his comments after the trade deadline and some guys were moved, and he said, we're still right in this thing. Obviously great person. How do you feel about that mustache?
Oh, I mean, the man behind the stash, it's crazy. That stash is, I, I forget what happened. There was one point in the year where it came off, and I think we lost that next game. And he came in the next day, and he was like, "It's the stash. Got me back." I was like, "Hey, fair. No one's questioning you. You keep that thing as long as you need to." Like, yeah, it's pretty impressive. I think it fits his character perfectly too. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. It always brings up some point of conversation at different times. And yeah, no, it's part of who Chuck is, and we love it.
How does the stash work now with the playoff beard? It'll all just kind of, everything is everything at that point, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I don't really know
the hard hitting questions here on B. Mitch and Finley.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know what that's going to entail. If we're going to have to let him grow the rest out, or if you just let him stick with it. If he just keeps the stash, I don't think anybody's going to question him.
I got to ask, like, you're a younger man. This playoff beard for you, you think it'll come all the way in? Like, what are you hoping to accomplish with the facial
hair?
Oh,
God, mine's pathetic. I mean, I've had two long stretches. I was fortunate enough to win a championship in junior, and then we won down in the American League last year. And I have a blonde, basically a white blonde mustache that comes down into a thick dark chin, and there is nothing else. So it's entertaining. My wife is always extremely happy when it gets to come off at the end of the year. I wouldn't put it up there to compete for any beard contest or categories, but if the longer it gets, it means we're doing something right. So I'm happy to grow it out.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I shaved today cause we got an award dinner for B-Mitch, but I will not shave again until there's a parade, hopefully.
Alrighty. Well, we love it. Ride with us.
I will, man. I will. Thank you very much for the time, brother. Good luck.
Thank you,
congrats again on the baby.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, guys. Always appreciate
your
time.
Take care.
Beck Malenstein, left winger for the Washington Capitals. Dude, I don't know if it's Carberry or if it's the players they put together, but I just love the positivity, looking ahead attitude of this Caps team. Coming up at 1 o'clock, it's a GD miracle. The computer's working. We will open the phone lines at 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The wait is over, DC. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is officially live. And right now, new customers can get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out on $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, when you bet your first $5 on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 18 years older and present in D.C. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
I broke his microphone. I don't know what the hell you were doing right there. Getting hyped for a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday.
Yeah.
Maybe we see if we can get Doc on the radio, because I think Doc's the MC tonight.
Oh, that's going to be some funny stuff there.
remember
the weddings?
Yeah, he did a good job at CJ's wedding.
Yeah, he didn't crack many jokes that night.
I was waiting for him, he played it straight.
He said, "I couldn't do it tonight."
Our friend
he held back.
Doc Walker was the officiant, I believe is the term, at our friend CJ's wedding and did a hell of a job. It was fun. So, B, earlier this morning we talked about Jaden and the emoji and the draft odds, and we kind of said, like, you know, when we hear something from a guy like Adam Schefter, we will listen.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Adam Schefter on the week that was in Commanderland.
Seemed to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number two overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process.
Opened up the process.
That was it, or that was the computer?
He's saying okay. That the...
I would just say, make sure the computer didn't.
Yeah. Basically saying the agent is a little grumpy, which I kind of think is what we've all known.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, it's not like it's the first time happening. I mean, I just what I get annoyed by is when people act like something has never happened before, like an agent has never got grumpy about something with a team.
Or for the agent, Josh Norris, who's a friend of the program, I think Josh Norris is like Warren Buffett rich now because he's got in on the ground floor of that underdog fantasy. But Norris used to work with the Rams, right? And Josh Norris just tweeted this out. He said, when I was with the Rams, they would bring in a number of prospects at once. Take them to a Dave and Buster's. Observe how they interact with the public or peers who might also be competitors for a draft slot. Seems like Washington did the same.
See, and this is my thing, Jay. I have no issue with what they did. I've said that over and over again. But I've also heard people who have an issue with the fact that they had more than one person come in. Then they got a problem with the agent having a problem with it. You see what I'm saying? How can you have a problem with it, but the damn man that works for him can't have a problem with it?
I think if he really thought he was coming for a one-on-one and then he got there and it was 20 dudes at Topgolf, I could see that being frustrating. But I wonder if there wasn't some miscommunication if he thought it was a one-on-one. Maybe and I think it's vital to the process to point out they had individual meetings the following day.
Yeah, it did. But like I'm saying, again, I don't have a problem with it happening. But if they thought it was a one-on-one, I can understand it. But I'm not going to sit up here and have a problem with it and then get mad at the agent for having a problem with it. You get what I'm saying? I can't do that one. That don't make sense to me.
I still don't know what, if any, impact this will have on Thursday night. I think if they liked Drake May the most 2 weeks ago, they're going to like Drake May the most next week. If they like Jaden Daniels the most 2 weeks ago, they're going to like Jaden Daniels most next week.
Yep.
The agent being upset is like, so people are.
He made a comment. I haven't, if I had seen him go and do a damn story or something and say this or had done an interview and said he was upset, he put an emoji up. All that extra stuff is everybody else assuming what he's thinking and how he's thinking it. He might have was a little annoyed by it. I've been annoyed but not been upset.
Well, I also think agents get annoyed by clubs all the time. Now, maybe they're not in the driver's
seat.
And
vice versa.
Right. Maybe they're not in the driver's seat of the number two overall, of a potential number two overall pick, the Heisman Trophy winner. But, like, in my world as a reporter, we always have to deal with the head of PR, whether that is for a sports team or a league. Like that's my counterpart in the information business, right? And there are natural friction points between reporters and PR. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
Now, most of the time you maintain a good relationship, but I know there are PR people that I've had disagreements with, that we've yelled at one another, but we're cool. You come out the other side of it. In the football personnel business, the football operations business, and the player representation business, there are clear natural friction points.
Always. And you cannot allow it to dictate how you move forward.
And what I'll say specifically is Peters has a pristine reputation with agents from around the country. So if Jaden Daniels...
And even in that situation, though, pristine reputation don't mean he's never had a disagreement with somebody.
Totally. And B, I would say this is a one-sided transaction here. Like, if Jaden Daniels' agent is unhappy and the Commanders draft him, nobody's going to care. He's going to go number two overall. He's going to make more money. He's going to come. Now, maybe the Commanders don't want to deal with him, or maybe they're put off by this process. That's the only direction that the transaction can be impacted.
If they truly like Jaden Daniels, this transaction will do nothing to it. I just, you know, like him being seriously upset, I don't think that's been proven. Him probably having an issue with it, that's something that's proven. And guess what you do with those? It's just like a bump in the road. You hit it and you keep moving.
Keep it moving.
If your bumper didn't fall down, you don't have no reason to stop.
Keeping it moving. Phone lines open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's a miracle. The phones work. The computer works. We're taking your calls. You get to ask an NFL legend anything you want. It's Ask Me Mitch Anything. Next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.